the acceptable time. Now is the day of salvation. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. A long time ago, there was a young man who was named Pelagius, not the heretic who the heresy of Pelagianism is named after, a different Pelagius. And this young man was a very pious man. He lived one of the most edifying lives, and always was striving after grace. And year after year, he continued to grow in this virtue and to grow in love and service of God. And all those who were around him were greatly edified by his virtues. And one day, though, he happened to fall into the misfortune of having a temptation of a bad thought in his mind. And he gave in to that temptation and entertained it willfully and fell into mortal sin. And having done so, he fell into a real state of melancholy in his soul. He really started to despair and felt so terrible about it. But with that sadness, he was afraid as well to go and confess it to his own confessor. He was afraid that because his confessor viewed him as a pious man, he would lose the favor of that man. That perhaps that he would look less highly upon him, and perhaps he would actually look down upon him as in a degrading way. And so he was afraid to go to confession and did it. He stayed away from it. And in his time of misery, God decided to give him this great grace, this great opportunity, and allowed his guardian angel to appear to him. And appear to him not as an angel, but as a pilgrim. And this pilgrim, who was his angel in disguise, came to him, and it was as if he read his soul. And the pilgrim said to him, "Go, Pelagius, confess thy sin, and God will forgive thee, and thou shalt recover the peace of thy soul." And having been rebuked in this way, he found a new fervor. He was strengthened by that knowledge of his soul there. But he still had that human respect that he was afraid to confess that sin, and decided in his own heart, in his own mind, that he would go and begin a life of penance and hope that God would forgive him for his sin without having to confess it by just living a penitential life. And so he left the world and everything behind. He left all of his possessions, and he left all of his family and friends, and he entered into a monastery of truly strict observance. And he began a life there of really harsh disciplines to himself, of fasting, of prayer, of penance. He submitted himself in even the smallest of details to the obedience of his superior. Listened to and fulfilled everything that he asked of him. Was a true model religious. And so much so that during his life, all of his peers, all of his fellow monks, seeing him, thought of him as a saint, thought of him as a saint living amongst them. And as his days went on, eventually he fell ill and was upon his deathbed. And so they called the priest in to see him, to give him the last sacraments. And there before the priest, he still, in his last agonies, was too ashamed to confess that one sin that he had committed. That one sin, that one mortal sin which still remained on his soul. And dying, the monks, thinking him to be this great saint, took his body, gave him all of the ceremonies that they could possibly do for his soul. Gave him the greatest of requiem masses, gave him the most solemn of burials in the monastery graveyard, and celebrated his life as though they knew for sure that he was already in heaven. And after the grave was closed, and all the monks went back and went to bed that night, they woke up the next morning, and what did they find there before them? They found the body of Pelagius laying on the ground outside of his tomb. And being, you know, astonished by this, they took the body and reburied it again. And the second day, they awoke and found the same thing, his body outside of that tomb. And so they did likewise again, buried it. And the third day they awoke again, and there he was again. There was Pelagius's body outside the tomb. And this was so peculiar to them and so, you know, frightening to them. And the superior of that community shouted to the body of Pelagius. He said, "Pelagius, in life you are always obedient to me. I command you now in your death to obey me and tell me what is meant by this horrible thing to see you outside of the tomb day after day." And in that moment, Pelagius' body began to speak. And he said, "Alas, I am damned for concealing my sin of taking pleasure in a bad thought. Behold the state of my body now." And then before their eyes, his body was as if it was engulfed in flames and red as if it were a burning iron in a fire. And they knew the horrible state of his soul at that very moment. And they took his body, took it away from the monastery, and buried it separate from all the rest of the brothers there. Dear brethren, we all have areas in our lives where we have faults and failings for ourselves. We all have areas which we must constantly strive to fix and to grow in, to overcome our sinful inclinations in order to save our souls. It is a battle which we have to wage every day. It's a battle that we can never rest in until the day we die. It's something that we can never find ourselves complacent in our spiritual life. And each and every one of us has something to gain from the story of this poor monk. We all need to continue to move forward in our spiritual lives, and we all have to do the things necessary to overcome the weakness of our flesh. And if we fall into those temptations, if we fall into our sins, don't let ourselves become melancholy as the young man Pelagius did. Don't allow ourselves to begin to have these feelings of despair or that perhaps we can do our own spiritual growth on our own. Instead, look to God. We have to focus upon Him. It's only through His grace and His help in which we can achieve this spiritual growth. And being the good God that He is, He has provided us with this so many wonderful opportunities for grace, so many wonderful gifts for ourselves to be able to make that journey, to save our souls. He wants us to get to heaven. He wants us, more than anything else, to be there with Him. But it's up to us. And as that good God, He's giving us those opportunities. And there is no greater opportunity for us than this very holy season, this season of Lent, which we find ourselves in now. Why is that? Why is Lent that opportunity? The world around us gives themselves an opportunity to grow in natural virtues, to do things that they have set aside as goals. Oftentimes it's mentioned that very idea of New Year's resolution. And a New Year's resolution, they say, "Oh, I'm going to lose weight," or "I'm going to give up smoking," or "I'm going to do these things." And it's fine and good. It's, you know, a laudable custom. But for us as Catholics, Lent is our spiritual time of resolution. It is the time when we can find the best way to make progress in our spiritual life is this season. And we don't want to overwhelm our minds and our spirits with trying to take on everything that we have. Like the New Year's resolution, the best way to attack it is to find the one temptation, the one area in our life that we are most attached to, that area of temptation which we are most drawn to, and set that aside and say, that is my focus for Lent. That is where I am going to grow and to be able to make progress to conquer that vice, to conquer that temptation. Not that the temptation necessarily will go away, but when it comes, that I'll be able to fight against it manfully, strongly, to stand up and put my trust totally in God and rely on the strength of my spirit rather than the weakness of my flesh. Find that one spot and sacrifice accordingly. If we're tempted in our lives towards lust and we find that that is our most prominent area, then focus on your fast. Make it a good fast. Make it a strong fast in that. And focus on it for that very intention. Not just, okay, I'm not eating as much and I'm sacrificing in the food that I consume without much thought going into it, or even the thought of, well, I'm offering this to God. No. Have it as an intention for that. I'm sacrificing, I'm fasting for the sake of my own chastity and purity. For the very intention itself. For the graces that I need to fight that vice. If I find that pride is my chief vice, then perhaps every day throughout all of Lent, I want to make an amendment to slowly, carefully, and thoughtfully say the litany of humility every day. And ask God that no matter what it takes to humble me, that he does so. If I find gluttony to be my vice, then I need that detachment from the food itself, that inordinate attachment that I have. And so I will take my meal that I have and say, all right, perhaps once a day during Lent, I am going to make part of my food something I actually despise. And in that way, I come to that realization in a spiritual life that food is not there just to give pleasure and satisfaction, but the main purpose of food is to fuel my body to do the things to serve God. And it doesn't necessarily matter what it tastes like as long as it fulfills that nourishment need. And so I will sacrifice by eating things which I care not for. Or perhaps patience is an area in which I lack. And so I'm going to set aside every day prayers to say for those around me who try me in patience. Perhaps it's our own family. Perhaps it's co-workers. Perhaps it's neighbors or whatever it may be. Those who try our patience, I'm going to pray for them every day and conquer that selfish attitude of lack of patience by that truly giving spirit of an act of charity for them. Or whatever that certain vice in our eyes that tempts us the most, the one we find ourselves coming back to all the time, find the appropriate penance for that during Lent. Make that your focus. Make that your goal. That you're going to gain ground on it. And if we fall into those sins, come right away to confess them. Fall on your knees. Beg God for forgiveness in the sacrament. Ask him for the graces to move forward and to grow in that time. No matter what it is, don't worry about if you're embarrassed or if you have that feeling of human respect. Humble yourself there. Ask God. He's the only one who can forgive it. And he gave it, that forgiveness, through the sacrament of penance. Ask for forgiveness and move forward. Move on. Grow from that. In all of these things, this has to be our focus now. We cannot wait. We cannot put off these things till tomorrow. We can't hold on to these temptations and say, I want to overcome them, but I don't want to put the effort into it because I'm too attached. I like it too much. I want to occasionally have open to me the ability to give in when I'm weak. We can't have that mindset. We have to be strong. We have to have our trust and our faith in God. We have to put that level of abandonment to Him and His grace and say, I don't care how bad it hurts. I want only You, God. I want to serve You alone. Today may be my last day in my life. I have no idea. I hope it's not, but it may be. Don't put off these things of spiritual growth. Don't save them for another time. Don't look to another Lent. Don't look to a later confession. Now is the time. Now is the day of salvation. May God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.